Well, it's good to see you this morning from this high perspective, and it's good to see everybody's still awake, and that's good. And we'll check on that before the sermon's over. We're reading from a very important gospel in our Bible, one of the most difficult gospels, really, to understand. It was the last gospel written. Mark was the first, which was written about, 70 A.D., 30, 40 years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus. And John was written about 110 A.D. And it's much more thoughtful in a sense that it is pondering all that happened in Jesus and all that has happened in the church since then. So we're reading this passage, which is called A New Commandment. This statement of Jesus is taken in the story here from the time that Jesus was gathered with his disciples before his crucifixion at what we call the Last Supper. Now, Judas had dialogued with Jesus, or Jesus had dialogued with Judas, and Judas had left. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I'm with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so I now to say to you, where I am, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You should also love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Let us pray. Oh God, we don't know sometimes what we should ask, what we should seek, what we should believe, what we should do. And so as we come to a time of worship to hear this word from the scripture and to ponder its meaning, we pray that your spirit may be with us and strengthen us and lead us forward to the future you want for each of us and all of us together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, it's good to be with you this morning. I know this is a difficult time in the history of the church, or as the church moves together and assesses what's going on and tries to understand how the future will be. And a few years ago, 1976. I stood not in this pulpit, but in the pulpit that was here on July 4th, my first Sunday in the congregation here as your pastor, and said, "Well, it will be different." "But it will be okay." And I don't know where that came to me or where it came from, but it's true of our lives, especially as we know that God is never apart from us. God never does not know what is going on with us and in us. And God's love will lead us, and it will be okay. I'll be remembering you especially in July and in the months ahead. One other thing. A new pastor is new for a congregation, of course, and a new congregation is new for the pastor. And you know where the parsonage used to be, and I'd walk down every morning to the church to begin the process of doing what needed to be done and learning the ways of the church. And I didn't know, but it was from July to probably mid-November that one day as I was walking down, I realized this is the church where I belong. I'm not on a vacation in Redondo Beach anymore. It's okay. I can relax, and I can do where God is leading us to go. I never thought that it's probably the same thing for a new pastor to come. And maybe by November, you think, well, that person's not going to go anyplace. They're here with us, and we're with them. And it'll be okay. One Sunday, a man stood before his congregation, an oxygen tank tucked under his arm. He began by saying, "I feel better now than I have felt in years. I thank God for that." The man still faced death by cancer, and yet he testified to a miracle. The man continued, "When it became known that I was sick, I found myself surrounded by the light of love from people who hardly knew me. My family was flooded with prayers and food and cards and the assurance that we were not alone. It was as though there were 1,000 arms of love reaching out to us. I knew it was the presence of God. I felt that I'd been overtaken by the kingdom of God and allowed briefly to look inside to experience just for a moment the love and joy of Christ's kingdom." Jesus lived and called those who followed him to experience the joy and love of God's kingdom. His resurrection from the death was the strangest, strongest sign of the power of God to bring new life, to come to very dark places, to fill us with hope that gives us strength to take another step. Today, Jesus brings the ultimate sign of God's peaceful, healing grace that we experience throughout our lives. Jesus intends his church to be that place where love prevails. Of course, we know at times it is the place where we can barely stand each other. But love is the only thing that distinguishes us in the world. The only thing. It's not the way we cut our hair or the hats we wear or the uniforms we have, nor race or culture. That's irrelevant. I believe not even our doctrine is as important as love. I don't need to remind you that it's a brutal world out there. Dog, eating dog. People live as though the bottom line is profit or loss, and not human welfare. But here, God wants to create an oasis of love in the desert of contemporary life, where we are received as you are and cared for as a precious gift. We have here in the church a counterculture. We don't learn what we should be from what's going on out there. We learn from those who are with us, living in the Spirit of Jesus Christ. For those of us who follow Jesus, love is at the center of our life. First, as a command. Jesus told his followers, "A new commandment I give you." Can Jesus command anything? For you, does his word carry more authority than your favorite TV program? More weight than a psychologist, and psychologists are good? More than an MD and doctors are important? More than a PhD and wisdom and skill is necessary? Can Jesus command anything more than your husband or wife? And my second issue with this scripture text this morning is, can love be commanded? Much of the time we act out of feeling. If love is only an act of feeling, a strong positive emotion, then no, it cannot be commanded. But if love is an act of the will, irrespective of like or dislike, then yes, our commitment to Jesus will lead to the determination to love above all else. Maybe the word care helps give an active content to what we're talking about. And we say in response to Jesus, "Yes, I will care." How can all of us gathered around Jesus learn to love? The hope of love hovers in judgment over brokenness and hurt feelings. How can we get through that? How can we become the new person Jesus has called us to be? First, you must make it so. You must take responsibility. Don't rely on those who plan the program. Don't wait for the pastor to work some magic. If love lives, if care is king, nobody can do it for you. It will be your action and attitude that makes the difference. Second, growing in love, caring, requires contact. You may remember the story about the new husband who was sent to war as a soldier and who pledged his young wife that he would write to her every day, no matter where he was. And he did. Every day a letter came from him. And finally, he got this letter from her that said, "John, it's okay. Don't bother writing anymore. I've married the mail carrier." It's the contact that does it. We can't learn to care for each other if we don't know each other. And that means giving our time and effort to participate in connecting with one another. Some primary group in a larger congregation, the choir, quilting, circle, Sunday school class, fellowship group. The contact may change through the years, but it must be somewhere. In this way, you will learn to put another's needs on your agenda. Your energy and attention are more than just for you. Be willing to listen to your friend, to a child, to someone who can't help you. The command of love is their prodigy, promising new life. Love can be a command because it's a gift. A new commandment, Jesus says. What's new? Jesus Christ, that's who's new, tells us, love, even as I have loved you. It's the presence of Jesus that resolves our fears, that assures us of God's lasting regard for us. Jesus with us moves us to care. God as love, and through that love, whose Spirit enables us, melting the rust from our hard wills and unwilling hearts. You've probably read, it's not news anymore. Many physicians are convinced that unconditional love is the most powerful known stimulant of the immune system. Unconditional love is not an option for life. It's a necessity. I'm always amazed at how the awareness of the power of love can come to us in unexpected ways and unexplained places. Last month, I received a letter from someone I knew just a little bit. She had been the wife of my best high school friend, Jerry Thomas. March 3rd, 2016. Dear Orly, I know you will be surprised to receive this letter from me, but I wanted to share with you what happened to me today. Today would have been Jerry and my 61st wedding anniversary. I volunteer at a St. Vincent de Paul thrift store every Thursday. And I noticed an old paper wrapped in plastic on a counter. I glanced at it and was shocked to see it was a folder of the War Whoop paper from McMurray College for the year 1953-1954. That was my junior year in that Abilene, Texas college. And Jerry attended that college just for that year. It was a time of special searching and turmoil in his life, and he thought perhaps maybe he would find something there. She goes on in her letter to say, I thought it was really strange because how many people in Austin, where she lives, would be interested in an old copy of The War Whoop in Abilene, Texas? I continued working but glanced at the paper whenever I passed it. I finally decided to open it and look at it. As you can see, it was very old and crumbles easily. I was amazed as I looked through to find this article about you, and also mentions of Ann Brock and Lucy, who also attended from Silver City, New Mexico, where I lived at the time. And I finally found a picture of the choir, and there was Jerry. My friends wanted me to take the whole paper, but I only took this paper because I thought you might enjoy it. I decided it was some kind of message from Jerry. When I found the paper on our anniversary, somehow it got from Abilene to Austin. And then when I looked at the date of the paper with your picture, I saw that it was printed on my birthday. I do think it was not by chance. I think that somehow he was reaching out to me. Jerry died nearly 4.5 years ago. It's hard for me to believe it. I still miss him and always will. I do hope and pray that we will be together someday. God bless you. Dorothy Thomas. I believe Dorothy is right. Again and again in our lives, we are touched by some experience that we cannot explain and that is unbelievable. An experience that touches the depths of love in our lives that we have shared with other people and that we are pointed to share again. Nobody can explain it. I spent my whole ministry reading books about God to try to understand how this whole life works. But from time to time, occasionally, there is an experience in life that shines new light into life. And it may not answer my questions in intellectual ways, but it says to me, it's different, but it will be okay. Let us pray. Oh God, you have come to us in Jesus. Even before we knew Jesus, and you come to us again and again, and we ask that we may always know, wherever we are, how much light or shadow we have, that we belong to you, and you love us, and you will give us the power to love each other. In the Spirit of Jesus, we pray. Amen.